Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Foxy Knowledge.
And then it was time for a theatrical Thursday edition of Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Oh, you're being thorough.
That is correct. I thought you would like that.
All right, in honor of our friends with the Center Film Festival.
Indeed.
Theatrical Thursday.
It is indeed the Center Film Festival, continuing for a few more days. If you've not had a chance to partake in some of the many, many terrific films that are being made available this week, today, tomorrow, and Saturday would be your chance. And we would encourage you to take advantage of that opportunity.
Actually, Sunday as well.
We have a check of sports coming up in the second segment of this morning's big show.
Yeah, we got a busy show, got an interesting show, got a show that's going to make you think.
Oh, right. No.
Now, in our second hour, 9 o'clock hour, we have open time. We told you yesterday that yesterday was going to be a momentous day, and it was. For multiple reasons, meaning more than two, okay? And we'll detail that here in a little bit. So plenty to talk about in our second hour. Coming up later this hour, we're going to have a guest for a segment. Either this guy is crazy.
Crazy!
No, he is, I'm thinking lots and lots of good words. We're going to be talking with Matthew Hollingham, who is going to do something next summer that I've got a map here. It's unbelievable what he is going to be doing next summer. He's going to be doing it in Europe. It's the most interesting triathlon I think I've ever seen. And it's just him. He's doing it. And unfortunately, this whole story begins with a tragic story. And we're going to let Matthew detail that when he joins us later on this hour. This is something that's... When this comes up next summer, we all need to be paying attention to this. This is amazing. It really is. And so we're going to let Matthew tell his story when he joins us later on this hour. So stay tuned for that. This is amazing, amazing stuff. Really is. Hey, we have a nice Thursday morning. The sun's out. Our shades are closed because in the early morning, the sun just beams through our big studio window.
Yep.
Now, you're sitting, if you were sitting in that seat, you wouldn't be blinded.
All right? That is true.
All right, but we like the sunshine. It's warming up a little bit. Again, we should get some temperatures back in the 50s for the weekend. No, it won't last, but at least we'll have it for a little while. If you need to do some yard work, hello, can you say raking? Can you say leaves? All the big wind we've had recently, at least at my house, most of the leaves are on the ground, no longer on the trees. Not all of them, but most of them. So if you got some yard work, it looks like, I think this weekend might be your time. That's when I'm going to try it. All right, let's see. What do we got? Oh, Mr. Ironhead, you missed a great game last night.
Oh, no.
You missed it. It's the annual Penns Valley Powder Puff football game.
Oh, baby.
And it went right down to the end. Okay. A lot of crazy people showed up last night.
Uh-huh.
Actually, they had a big crowd. They had a great turnout, which is phenomenal. I mean, it was cold last night. It was cold and windy and like, wearing your fur hat and all that sort of stuff. They raised money for the Penns Valley High School Student Council. I don't have a final number, but I know they had a good night last night, which is great. They can use that money for all sorts of student activities and so on. It's the seniors against the juniors. And, all right, let's do the play-by-play. All right. First off, I told my helpers in the press box running the clock last night, I said, I hope you went with the under on this game.
Oh, boy.
This is a flag football game, all girls. The game is tied at 10 inside the final minute of the game. Now, there was an overtime provision, but in this case, the juniors have the ball. They're at midfield. it's fourth down. I really thought they would punt, which in this case they didn't actually punt. It was a 30-yard walk-off. If somebody, okay, we're going to punt, they just gave it 30 yards and reset the ball and stuff like that. No, the juniors decided to go for it on fourth down.
Ooh.
They were going for the win, I guess. The problem is the quarterback fades back. She throws the ball, and it's intercepted.
Oh, boy.
It's intercepted by the seniors. Elle Dingus, I know Elle. She's a terrific soccer player and basketball player. She's a good athlete. Elle gets the ball. She heads for the right sideline. Now, this is flag football. So the idea is you need to grab one of those two flags on your belt, and then you're tackled. Somehow, Elle goes, gets over to the right sideline, avoids a bunch of, quote, tacklers, somehow runs down the right sideline 60 yards for a pick six.
Whoa!
In the final minute. The crowd goes crazy. Well, the senior fans went crazy.
Uh-huh.
The junior fans were like the Penn State fans the other day. Like, oh.
Let's head for the exit.
Just like that. And the final score ended up being 18-10 in favor of the seniors. What a great game. Now, the highlight of the game was that play. I mean, that was a great play. The halftime show was very interesting. This is a strange Penns Valley tradition. We have seniors against the juniors, in this case boys, who were the, quote, cheerleaders. Had to do about 2 or 3 minute halftime routine to music. And then what happens is all the fans that were there after the two groups did their maneuvers, they had to vote on who did the better job, the junior group or the senior group. Now, for whatever reason, the junior group was big. They had a lot of boys last night. The senior group, not as big, not as many boys. But they both did their routines. I have to admit, the junior boys did the better job. I mean, they were the choreography, Mr. Ironhead. You should have seen it. It was
spectacular, wasn't it?
I mean, the Rockettes have nothing to fear, but it was amazing, okay? And the junior boys clearly worked on their routine. I mean, they had, I don't know what the fancy terms are. The timing was right, and their arms are flying, and they're leaping, and they're doing gymnastics moves. Like, wow, these guys are pretty good. How'd that happen? So the vote, and I had to announce it at the end of the game, the vote goes to the juniors. And again, the crowd explodes. Yay! All that sort of thing. All in fun. All right? All in fun and a good fundraiser again for the student council. So not every high school does this. I'll be honest. Does State College do this?
Oh, yeah.
They do? Okay. I think a lot of our local schools do something like this. Somebody, who is it? They don't do it until spring. Penns Valley always does this in November, right after the football season is over. Because if you get too far into November, I mean, it was chilly last night. It was nippy with that breeze. You go a little further, you're going to have like Eskimos or something. Yeesh. But everybody had a good time and had a great final play. Well, not quite final play.
Mm-hmm.
The clinching play. Elle Dingus, 60-yard pick six. How did she do it? She spin-moved. I mean, you should have seen her. She was amazing. But anyway, all right, let's move on.
We'll be talking about this one for generations to come.
Or for days. Anyway, all right, now we mentioned yesterday, momentous day. Yes, it was. All right, if somehow you don't pay attention to news, which you should, we have a new state budget. Now, we'll dig more into this maybe when we do the open line stuff next hour. Essentially, the two sides in Harrisburg compromised.
Hmm.
That's what they did. They compromised.
Well, that's good, because I think that deadline was coming up. So I didn't want to see them push it.
Yeah, next year's deadline.
All the way to the deadline.
Next year's deadline is coming up,
uh-huh.
June 30th. And I read some clip from, I can't remember who, a state representative who essentially, this would have been, I guess, last night, she essentially said, well, why didn't we do this in June? And the state representative would have a point.
Uh-huh.
Why didn't they just do this in June? Because it was a compromise. And again, we'll detail more about this, later in the show. Like, gee, guys, why didn't you just do that? and gals. The federal government shutdown is over. All right. The House, no great surprise, voted to pass, and it went to President Trump, and he immediately signed it last night. Now, the government shutdown is over, but it isn't. I mean, it's going to take time to kind of gear things back up. If you are a SNAP, you know, food stamp recipient, how quickly can they get that, you know, sort of thing back up to speed? The airlines thing. This could take weeks to get back up to speed. And again, the whole idea is these air traffic controllers and a lot of them saying, hey, we're not being paid, so I'm not coming to work, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's going to take some time to get a lot of these airports like back up to where they need to be. So in the short term here, all those flight cuts that we've heard about, either cancellations or delays, they're still there. And they're going to be there probably for several weeks. So if you have an upcoming flight to wherever, if it's out of state college or out of some other place, I will assume that your airline will keep you informed, you know, text or an email or something about your flight. But also, you should stay informed. We had a guest on this last week. There's a website called Flight Aware, which is very well known. They also have an app. They keep track of, you know, where planes are going and when they left and when they're going to land and what's been canceled and all that sort of thing. Flight Aware is probably doing a lot of business right now because people are trying to figure out, okay, what's going on. You can go to their website and you can filter it for a particular airport. So I actually did this earlier this week. Right here it is. This is a couple days old. I filtered this for State College Regional Airport, which, by the way, is labeled KUNV, not SCE. KUNV, you know, the old name, University Park Airport. And this was, this was a couple of days ago. Total delays at that day from State College Airport, 9. Total cancellations that day, State College Airport, 3. And so these are going to continue. They're not going to be up to speed for a little while. We want them to be. And, of course, here comes Thanksgiving. Oh, wonderful. And the holiday season, they're going to take a while. So, again, if you've got an upcoming flight, don't have your blinders on. You need to keep track of this stuff to see if your flight is still, A, running, B, on the particular day, on time. There's a distinct possibility it may not be. So don't let yourself get caught short, especially with Thanksgiving here in a couple of weeks. You know, if you're flying somewhere, you better keep your P's and Q's and watch out for this stuff. Also yesterday, this is momentous. All right? Down in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Not too far away. The United States Mint has their facility down there, and they pressed their last penny. No more new pennies. They produced their very last 1 cent coin after over 200 years. Now, again, if you're not familiar with this story, we've mentioned it, and it makes sense. It's costing...
Well, it doesn't make sense.
Well, it doesn't...
anymore. It used to make sense.
I stumbled into that one. All right, there we go. Apparently, for a number of years now, to produce a 1 cent penny, it cost the government, I think, 4 cents to make a 1 cent penny. So, in other words, we've been losing money on this deal for years. And again, you talk about money and you add it up. We're talking millions of dollars.
Well, we lost even more because people were willing to give folks that were in the Senate and in Congress a penny for their thoughts. And man, did we get ripped off.
Yeah, okay, I'll ring the bell on that one. We'll talk more about that maybe later in the show. Mm. So no more pennies. Now, folks, have you hit this yet? Because I have. You go to certain stores, and I'm thinking especially like a grocery store, and, you know, you probably or maybe you want to pay cash, and you get up to the checkout line, and you see the sign, you need exact change if you're going to pay cash. I have hit this already on a couple of occasions, you know, here. And I'm thinking, I really would like to, it's like a small thing, I'd really like to pay cash. well, I don't have any exact change. And then you get a look from the clerk like, that sort of thing.
You
now,
jerk.
Not everybody. Now, yesterday before I went to the Powder Puff football game, I went to a grocery store. I needed a few things. And I go up to the checkout line, and the girl's there. Now, this particular store, it's like, okay. Now, I even brought my receipt. Here it is. My bill was $16.21.
Huh.
$16.21. And I thought, okay, are they going to tell me exact change? I pull a 20. I have a 20 in my wallet. I give a 20 to the young lady. Not a problem. She gives me my change back, which was 79 cents of change. Okay, so I put it in my pocket, get my stuff, go on my way. So for some folks, this is a big deal right now. For other folks, apparently not so much. But probably at some point, it's going to be a big deal for everybody. All right, this whole change thing. And so some stores apparently are starting to grapple. There's a wrestling term. Grapple.
That is a wrestling term.
All right. The next coin up, of course, is a nickel, 5 cents. Well, okay, if your bill is, my bill was $16.21 last evening. Does the store round up to $16.25? Or, apparently, at least in some cases, do they round down? In this case, it would have been $16.20. Now, folks, what would you do? Would you round up or would you round down? Now, apparently, some folks are doing both. There are some stores they're trying, I guess, to round up. And I assume when they round up, that in my case, it would have been 4 cents last night. They're going to somehow divvy up the 4 cents and they're going to give it to a charity of some kind. Maybe you've had a situation where you've been at a store and you get this little message at the end, would you like to round up to the next dollar? And if you do, we'll be giving that extra money to, I don't know, a food bank, or we're giving it to a charity of some kind and so on. By the way, I really would like to see some reporting from the store on this extra money that they are collecting. Like how much extra money was collected, you know, like in a month's time. And, of course, who was the charity? Did the charity get the money? I'm not saying I'm distrustful of stores, but I guess I would like a little more details on this. And you never see that. Once you get past the checkout line, you never hear about that ever again, unless they're hiding it on the store website. I'm sorry, I don't go to store websites. I'd like a little more information, like in a sign in the store saying, in October, we gathered X dollars from your kind contributions to donate to the, I don't know, blah, blah food bank or something like that. You never see that reporting. So if stores are listening, come on, let us know where that extra money's going if I'm giving you extra money. I'd like to know where it's going. There's a convenience store chain, Quick Trip. Interesting, Quick Trip is rounding down, not up. And apparently CNN had a story about this where this store admitted this is going to cost them a couple million dollars a year by rounding down instead of up. Now, that's a curious decision, okay? If my bill is $16.21 from last night, and the store only collected $16.20, well, that means they lost, in my case, one whole penny, 1 cent. But if you do that over and over and over and over and over again, I just find it curious that you would decide to go down rather than up. I don't know. But watch out for this, folks, because more and more stores are going to start doing this if they haven't already. And then you have to make a decision. All right, what am I going to do here? Am I going to just round up and... In some cases, the decision might be, here's what I'm waiting for. Stores that are going to say, no more cash. They're going to say, no more cash. Debit card, credit card, where's your card? That's how you're going to pay for your bill. Now, technically, they should not be allowed to do that. That's why we have cash. But I'm really waiting. You know, we've been talking about the cashless society forever, right? We've been doing that forever. Long, long, long time. This... I'm wondering, could actually be the thing that ushers in that type of a scenario. If you're going to buy something, you better have a card. Better have a credit card, debit card. Otherwise, sorry. Now, again, legally, I don't think they can do that, but we sure seem to be heading that direction, don't we? Yeah, keep an eye on that.
Yep.
And then finally, all right, elections. This is amazing, I think. I just saw this yesterday. Up in Williamsport, all right, the election a couple of weeks ago, they had a seat on the city council in Williamsport. Two candidates, Republican Eric Biter and Democrat April Line. Amazingly, both candidates got 2,415 votes. It was a tie.
That's over, pretty close.
That's upwards of 5,000 votes. Yes, that's really close. Somehow, the two candidates have the same number of votes. Well, somebody has to win. Okay, how do you determine who the winner is? Now, me being me, with my buddy here in the next chair, I figure the two could wrestle for it. All right.
There you go.
Best out.
I like that idea.
And we'll make it fair. Best out of three. Now, the problem
that
is it's a guy and a gal. So I think the guy, I would lean more toward the guy probably in that one. So the wrestling scenario does not work. All right. We're not doing that. How are they going to break this tie? Here's what they're going to do. Next Friday, the 21st, the two candidates will get together with, I guess, official people. And they will draw numbers out of a hat or out of a bag or something. There will be a bag full of numbers. And each person will put their hand in the hat or the bag and pull out a number. The lowest number wins. Now, folks, I'm sorry. There's got to be a better way to choose your election winner than pulling numbers out of a bag or a hat. But apparently, I mean, they're not winging this. This is apparently on paper. If this ever happens, here's how we determine who the winner is. The two people pull numbers out of a bag or a hat, and whoever has the lowest number wins. I'll be curious to find out who the winner is. I'm sure there will be some news coverage because it's extremely rare when that happens. It's going to happen in Williamsport next week. Go figure. That's amazing. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. Oh, lots of sportsy stuff beyond Powder Puff Football. There were other things going on last night. Again, we have a guest later this hour doing something pretty amazing that unfortunately began with something pretty tragic. And we're going to hear his story later on. Then we'll have open line time in the 9 o'clock hour. Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding? Lots to talk about. State budget, federal stuff, Epstein again, some other things, and your calls. So get ready for that, all right? You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Let's take a break right here, and we will come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Scott Graham here from Westwood One. Don't miss any of our exclusive NFL action all season long until a new champion is crowned at Super Bowl 60. Of course, each week begins with Thursday Night Football. I'll get it started with a preview and a look ahead at the big weekend games. Then it's to the stadium for the play-by-play of all the action. Join us all season long on Thursday Night Football.
The road to Super Bowl 60 starts right here all season long. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544 to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
It's a busy world, too many things grabbing your attention. On the radio, you want a show that talks to what you're thinking about. And yeah, some laughs to break up the stress. That show is Let's Talk, weekdays 8 to 10 a.m. here on 98.7 The Fox. This is Scott Giese. Join me and Jeff Byers for talk every day on the topics that interest you, that make you angry, that make you want to know more. Big topics, local topics, news or sports, and your calls and comments. Start your day with a show to get the brain cells firing. Let's Talk, weekdays 8 to 10 a.m. here on 98.7 The Fox.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coolest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines. The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails. Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Building the drama on a theatrical Thursday. We're back, baby. I'm back. Good to be in the saddle here on a Thursday morning. Jeff and Scott with you, and yep, let's take a check of sports, shall we? We shall. Penn State football getting ready to take on Michigan State in the East Lansing on Saturday. Kickoff at 3:30. Game will be televised by CBS, and the speculation over the next head coach at Penn State is getting a little ridiculous.
Oh,
to be told.
Yes, it is.
Just a lot of speculation, and that's pretty much all we have at the moment, is a lot of speculation. It is going to be a very interesting decision, and the hire, no matter who it is going to get a ton of scrutiny and will be evaluated game by game over the next, hopefully, long number of years.
But possibly, you know, just two or three.
I don't know. It's a new world. I don't know.
It is definitely a new world. Anyway, Penn State, Michigan State again, 3:30 Saturday afternoon. Somebody is going to win a Big Ten game. The Lady Lion basketball team blew the game open in the third quarter yesterday and ended up routing Coppin State at Rec Hall. 90-62 was the final. And Penn State was in the lead most of the way, but again, that third quarter, they just, man, did they come out on fire after the half. Kiyomi McMiller scored 21 points and grabbed 9 rebounds to lead Penn State. Gracie Merkel added 15 points and 8 rebounds. The Lady Lions are now 3-0 on the season. Penn State will visit St. Joseph's on Sunday afternoon at 2. To be honest with you, that seems a little unfair. The kids at St. Joe's are wonderful kids. I know some of them, but really? Okay. You're going to make the short trip down to Bowlesburg take on a bunch of high school kids when you're trying to build your team and get ready for the Big Ten season? I don't think this is right. I don't think Penn State should be putting high school programs on their schedule. And I love the kids at St. Joseph's. I'm sure it'll be a neat opportunity. That gym doesn't really, it's a nice gym, but that doesn't really seem like a suitable place to hold Lady Lion basketball
games.
Is Bethany Irwin
still the coach?
She is indeed.
Former Lady Lion great.
Yes, indeed. Maybe that's why they got this thing together.
Although it's weird, this says in the release
that they're going to go down to Philadelphia when they're both right here in the area. You'd think either Bowlesburg or just up at Rec Hall, but they're going to play this thing in Philadelphia Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock.
St. Joseph's University.
Oh.
Big Five.
Oh, that makes a lot more sense.
Big Five.
Now that you say
this
that.
This is Philadelphia weekend because the men.
It is.
Right?
Philadelphia weekend.
Philadelphia
LaSalle.
Weekend. There you go.
And it's not LaSalle High School.
No.
Down in. Anyways, Lady Lions making some news off the court yesterday as well. Penn State signing guard Shaque Desdunes.
I have no idea.
I'm guessing it's Desdunes. I'm sure we'll get familiar with the pronunciation. I'm just not yet. Shaque has had a sensational high school career to this point. She is a member of the class of 2026. ESPN rates her as the 51st best overall player in the high school class of 2026 for women's basketball. She hails from New Orleans but is now at DME Academy in Daytona Beach, Florida. She has already surpassed the 2,000-point mark in her scholastic career. And again, that's, you know, she still has her senior season to go here.
Wow.
Mariano Lazzarini of Penn State is the Big Ten Men's Swimmer of the Week. Second time this year he has earned that honor, the senior picking up 4 wins and the victory over Army West Point, including individual victories in both the 100 and the 200 breast. And Penn State will be competing at the Ohio State Invitational. That will get underway next week. I think competition begins on Tuesday in Columbus next week. Penn State track and field team announcing its complete schedule for both the indoor and outdoor competitions for the upcoming year. That includes 4 total home meets right here at Penn State. Penn State will be opening the indoor season with a split squad weekend on December 5th and 6th. Part of the group will be going to Lewisburg for the Bucknell opener, and another group will be heading to Philadelphia for the Penn opener. There will also be a group heading to the Sharon Collier Danville season opener, which will be held in Boston, Massachusetts. Penn State's home events in the indoor schedule, the Nittany Lion Challenge on January 17th, the Penn State National Open January 30th and 31st, the Sykes and Sabach Challenge, which will be on February 7th, and then the Penn State Tune-Up ahead of the Big Ten Championships. That will be on February 20th. The Big Ten Indoor Championships, once again held in Indianapolis this year. That will be February 27th and 28th, and the Indoor NCAA championships will be held in Fayetteville, Arkansas, March 13th and 14th. Penn State will then open the outdoor season with the Penn Challenge in Philadelphia on March 21st. A couple of other highlights. They will be at the Florida Relays April 3rd and 4th. The Penn Relays in Philly will be on April 23rd through the 25th. The Big Ten Outdoor Championships this year will be May 15th through 17th in Lincoln, Nebraska. And then the East Region First Round in Lexington, Kentucky will be May 27th through the 30th. And the NCAA Outdoor Championships course in Eugene, Oregon, that will be June 10th through the 13th this coming summer. Oh, boy, the weather will be nice then, won't it? Sorry, I digressed.
The weather's nice today.
That's okay. All right. It's still a little chilly. The Philadelphia Flyers lost to the Oilers in overtime last night, 2-1. Jack Roslovich scored the game winner with a turnover, just 1:19 into the overtime period. Dan Vladar made 30 saves for Philadelphia. Matvei Michkov scored the Flyers' lone goal. Philadelphia will be back in action tomorrow, visiting Columbus. Blech. The Pittsburgh Penguins are off until Friday afternoon when they visit the Predators in Nashville. That'll be a 2 o'clock faceoff on Friday afternoon. Field hockey day. Field trip day, not field hockey.
Field hockey.
That would be fun.
On the ice.
Hey, let's play a little field hockey.
On the ice, yeah. Okay.
Just over in this corner while the field trip day, I think it must be in there.
Oh, okay.
I don't really know. In a unanimous vote, Pirates ace Paul Skeens has won the National League Cy Young Award.
See, you thought he wouldn't.
Now, not only that, he got all of the first place votes.
Well, yes, unanimous.
Unanimous, and he got them all.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Skeens was just 10-10 this season because, you know, the whole playing for the Pirates thing.
Yeah.
But he had a 1.97 earned run average and racked up 216 strikeouts while allowing 42 walks. He is just the third Pirates pitcher to win the Cy Young, joining Doug Drabeck in 1990 and Vern Law in 1960. Skeens was the Rookie of the Year two seasons ago, and now through his first 55 major league starts, he has a 1.96 earned run average.
That's amazing.
And this is while playing
for the Pirates.
For the Pittsburgh Pirates. Let that sink in for a moment. Very interesting with the voting. So all 30 first-place votes go to Paul Skeens. All 30 second-place votes went to Christopher Sanchez.
Yeah.
Every ballot had the same one and two, and then little difference of opinion after that. But very interesting. Everybody's like, yep, clear-cut number one, clear-cut number two in the National League. Tarik Skubal of the Detroit Tigers is your American League Cy Young Award winner here for 2025. And I won't go off.
What'd you do?
You just think with Paul Skeens and all of this that, you know, what a normal ownership group would be doing in this offseason is, oh, my God, if we just go get a couple of bats, we could be playoff contenders. We might even be world champion contenders. Let's go make that happen. That is not what is going to happen this offseason.
because the Pirates have god-awful ownership and an individual that just does not give a rip about the fans or winning.
All right.
And, boy, that is just discouraging.
How do you really feel? Okay.
Very, very frustrating. I'm just saying. Big weekend coming up. We'll start detailing some of the weekend events in and around the Penn State campus and a couple of high school teams, high school football teams still in postseason play, and we'll start running all of that stuff down tomorrow and Friday. But this should be a pretty fun sports weekend here for the fans in Center County. And be curious to know, if you went up to that game yesterday with the Lady Lions, just your thoughts on, it's got to be weird coming out of a game, and it's like 1:30 in the afternoon on a weekday. That's just, well, that's a little weird. And then they had the whole thing with the building. Now, I think that happened just after, right, the game. I'm guessing most people were out of the garage by that point, although God knows with how awful the parking situation there is. Maybe not. Maybe they were still working to get out. But that evacuation yesterday on the Penn State campus with the Susan Welch building, I'm really curious to learn more about what the heck happened there yesterday afternoon. Very, very strange.
Well, hopefully we'll get some details today.
I'm certainly expecting and hoping that that is the case. But, yeah, when you get a building moving a couple of inches, that's a little disconcerting. That can throw you off for a day.
A big, giant crack going up the side of the building or something. Wow.
Very, very strange.
Not good. Not good. All right, let's see very quickly some other things that that we've got here. Yes, the football coach speculation. It's like, come on, guys.
And at this point, I mean, it does seem fairly obvious that Lou Holtz. It's just a matter of time, I think. Is that not what you're hearing?
I saw one yesterday from an alleged, not an expert, but one of these, I don't know, betting services or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I didn't see Lou Holtz's name anywhere on the list.
Oh, I'm telling you, we could get big, big money now, when he's named.
Now, on this particular list, and there's tons of lists, okay? On this one particular list, there was one guy clearly at the top of the list. I mean, it was like by percentages. This one guy was clearly number one on this list. You want to take a guess? And no, it's not Lou Holtz.
Was it me?
No, it wasn't.
I'm willing to accept.
Your name wasn't anywhere on the list either.
Well, now that's hard to believe.
Now, again, this is a betting service, so nobody's betting on you.
Huh.
I'm terribly sorry.
I'll bet on me.
Good man. That's
somebody's got to do it.
That's the spirit.
I believe in me.
Now, who do you think was the, by far, number one name on the list? I think like 39%, and the next person was down at like 15% or something. 39%. Who would you say? Again, this is one of these betting service places. Who do you think it was? Do, 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 do.
Oh, boy, Brent Key.
Boy, you're thinking hard. He was on the list, but not number one.
Not number one. Who do they have number one?
Eli Drinkwitz from Missouri. Was a clear, I mean, we're talking, it wasn't even close, clear number one on this list. Now, granted, could Missouri be a playoff team? I don't think so.
Not.
Now, again, Bo Prabula, that's where he went and was playing really well. Then he got hurt.
Yeah.
Now, if they get Drinkwitz, I think part of the deal is, okay, you got to bring Prabula back with you. You got to bring him back with you. That would,
I don't know, Gronk. If Gronk stays, I think he's developing.
But hold on,
fine.
He's a redshirt freshman, right? All right, so he has three more years to go, where Prabula would only have one.
That is true.
So you bring back Bo Prabula, I think he's earned the starter spot at Missouri. All right. At the beginning of the season, it was a fight. Well, Perbula, now the other guy, I think, got hurt too. So Missouri's had some injury troubles.
Yes, they
have. So now, is that going to happen? For me, it's not so much who, it's much more about the when. When are they going to do this? And I'm thinking first week of December has got to be your when. The regular season's over. And so on, because again, you got to convince current guys to stick. Then you've got the portal comes up. You've got recruits who have bailed. Well, can you find a way to pull them back or go after new guys? And the longer you wait on that, I think the worse it is. So the first week of December. Now let's see what happens. Mm. All right. I mean, the last game is the 29th of November in, holy fright. That's only a couple of weeks. Yeah. Wow. So the who is interesting. I'm actually more curious about the when. Yeah. And then I don't, no offense, I don't see Terry Smith's name on any of these lists. So it, apparently it's a foregone conclusion with, quote, experts that Coach Smith will not be the guy. But a ton of people, at least on social media, saying, hey, Penn State, you got to find a way to keep Terry Smith. And I've seen this mentioned multiple places. And again, college sports have just changed. All right. The NIL money and teams, I don't know if every team does this, but the big teams have now a general manager. It's like the pros. And so Penn State football will have a general manager. And a lot of folks think that Terry Smith would be perfect as the Nittany Lion general manager. So you're not coaching on the field, but there's a whole lot of other things that you do. I don't know. What do you think about that? Wrestling, does wrestling have a general manager?
In essence, yes. Clay Steadman does that. Yeah, I think they need somebody that handles that end of it. Goon's been making the point for a while. It's just you don't want your coach part of the job of the quote unquote front office is you're trying to figure out how to minimize your expenses. Well, it's hard to go motivate players while you're trying to limit the amount of money that you're going to be paying out to them. So, yeah, I think they need to get like a true, I mean, they have a general manager now, but like a true, like somebody that takes charge of the business side of the football program. I think that needs to happen. I think it will happen. But one of the things we've been talking about on the show, which 2 to 4 this afternoon will be the next episode, is the importance of the coach-GM relationship. And I think you need to get, I don't know that it necessarily matters which you hire first, but you just need to make sure that both are like pulling in the exact same direction, that there's not a situation where you have a GM that's like, yeah, I want to go this way and I think we can do it like this. And a coach is like, nah, that's not quite that. That's, I think, not the way you want to do this. It needs to be a team that feels like it's pulling in the exact same direction. And I think that's going to be a bit of a challenge as well.
Well, I'll throw in an extra angle. The coach, GM, athletic director relationship.
Oh, yeah, sure.
There's three that need to be pulling in the same direction.
Well, presumably the athletic director is not hiring people who he feels are going to directly undermine what he's trying to do. You would think the hiring process. A fairly important element would be, all right, yeah, this guy's lining up with what I have for the vision of the program here.
All right,
on both cases.
All right, let's take a break. Again, we're going to have open line time in the 9 o'clock hour about yesterday's rather momentous day. Did you like it? Did you hate it? Yay, nay, all that sort of stuff. Stay tuned. Our next segment is going to be pretty powerful. We got somebody either doing something amazing or something insane, and we're going to find out about what's going on here. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. We will come right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Now, a fraternity or sorority is a brotherhood or sisterhood formed around common goals and aspirations. These men and women make a commitment to each other for life. The members that form a fraternity or sorority share their efforts, friendship, and knowledge, but they should never, ever look the same. That's why there's PAMP, Printing and More Printing. All kinds of t-shirts for all of your group's events, with the artwork as wild as... artwork as visually stimulating as your mind's eye sees it.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. Jeff and Scott with you, and we'll have some open phone time coming up a bit later in the program today.
All right. This is very interesting. I'm not sure how to start this. Again, I think our friend Matthew is either inspired or insane. I'm not sure which one it is.
Maybe a little bit.
We're about to find out. Let's welcome to our program Matthew Hollingham. Hi, Matthew.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for coming in. You are doing something next summer.
Summer vacation, I like to think of it.
This is incredible.
It's a long summer vacation you're taking.
All right, yeah, in Europe or Africa or Arctic or all of the above. Let's start with some background, all right? Now, again, our friends from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau, one of our great sponsors, he gave us this information, and I said, oh, my goodness, we absolutely want to talk about this. Let's get some background from you, Matthew, other than the fact that you're extremely young, and I'm not. Tell us about yourself. What's your background? You know, what are you doing around here? Tell us about you.
So I'm British, if you couldn't tell, and I'm doing a PhD at Penn State. So I'm doing a PhD in environmental policy. And I came here 2 years ago with my fiance, Lavisa. And unfortunately, in the first month since coming here, she passed away. And so since then, I've been doing these sort of crazy endurance events to fundraise for charity. So last year, if you know Mount Nittany, the mountain over there.
That, yeah.
So I walked up and down that 49 times continuously I reached the height of Mount Everest. So that took 35 and a half hours, like could just continuous. I took a 20-minute break at about 4 in the morning. I was hallucinating really badly. My feet went green and fluffy. But it was, you know, an amazing fundraising opportunity, and I got to raise, you know, about $13,000 for Save the Children. And so because of that, next year, next May to July, I'm going to be doing the world's furthest Ironman triathlon. And an Ironman is essentially the hardest form of triathlon you can do. Mm-hmm. It's a 3-mile swim, a marathon, and a 100-mile bike. So I'm doing the furthest version of that. So I'm starting in the Arctic Circle, swimming across the Arctic Circle line of latitude. I'm doing 37 back-to-back marathons, and then 23 100-mile cycles until I reach North Africa. So that's going to be about 3,500 miles with no rest days. And that's the equivalent distance of going from New York to London or from New York to LA and then back to Texas. And that's continuously all via sort of my legs, essentially. This is also going to be fundraising for Save the Children. I can see your smile.
Yes.
It does sound crazy. You're right. It does sound crazy.
Oh, to be young again. All right. Holy moly.
But now, hopefully.
Who's getting the proceeds here?
So it's going to be Save the Children and the Senti County Youth Services Bureau. So a fantastic charity that I've been working with downtown in State College. And hopefully it does sound so stupid and so unbelievable that, you know, why not donate? Why not give $5 for that? So that's the plan. It's sponsored by the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau, and all sort of proceeds will be going between those two, and you can choose if you want to do more local charity support or international charity support. And if you go to happyvalley.com to the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau and join their mailing list, you'll find out more information when it comes around. There'll be fundraising links. I'll be hopefully screaming everywhere about what I'm doing so people can donate. And yeah, hopefully it'll be a good thing to bring at least the Center County community together, because really for me, that's what it all came down to. Like, I'm doing this with the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau because the community was so supportive. Like, I mean, I'm on your show. Like, I don't know who you are, but it's through the kindness of the Center County community that I'm here. So that's what I really want to show and bring support to, and really just, you know, fundraise for a good cause.
Love fundraising activities. Did you ever think about just like, hey, we could do an auction. We could do a golf tournament.
We could do a hoagie sale or something.
And like, I'm a big fan of adventurous vacations, but like, you know, it's like a 5-mile hike, and then we go back and have some Mai Tais and sit by the pool. I'm assuming you have a background in physical fitness. Mm-hmm. This is a passion of yours.
Yeah. So I've done a lot of sports. I started with weightlifting, and then I played college water polo. So I played for my university back in the UK, and then I switched to Muay Thai. So I've had two amateur Muay Thai fights. I've done wrestling, club wrestling here, and jiu-jitsu as well. And then I used to play tennis. I used to compete in CrossFit in the British Army. And then now I sort of do these triathlon sort of events. Previously, I walked a marathon a day from the top of the UK to the bottom, so from Glasgow to London. And then I also walked the width of the UK continuously. So this is not like out of character for me, but it is crazy.
Horseshit. Yes. This is so. How do you go about? I'm genuinely curious about this. How do you go about the training process for this? Because there's no way you can actually properly prepare your body for having no days of rest. That is insane.
Yeah, I mean, you can train best you can, but at the end of the day, my body is going to break down over 2 months, and I know that. But all it is you're training not to perform, but to not break down. So my week, even though it's running and cycling, which are all sort of, you see the sort of the slimmer build is more preferred. Like, I still maintain a lot of, want to maintain a lot of strength and muscle, because that's what's going to fail. It's going to be my ligaments and tendons, and that's going to stop me. Like, if my leg is cramping or my leg hurts, like, that's fine. I can push through that. But, like, if my ankle breaks or, like, my Achilles heel gets ruptured, like, that's over. So for me, it's training those. So what this looks like is I run about 70 to 80 miles a week. I bike about 100 miles a week. I swim 3 miles a week, and then I do 3 strength training sessions a week. So wow. It's twice a day, every day.
Whoa. Matthew, you need a hobby.
Okay. And well, that is my hobby.
And you are taking classes through this.
I'm doing a PhD, yeah.
Okay.
What are you right now, like a junior or senior? What are you?
I'm third year PhD.
Oh, so so you're a grad student.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So
all
even
right.
More work.
Yeah. All right. Folks, if this were a TV show, we'd be putting up the map of this route that Matthew's going to be following, starting at the northern tip of Sweden, and then going through Sweden, jumping over to Denmark, going through Belgium, going through France, going through Spain, going to Gibraltar, and then you're going to cross the Mediterranean to, is that Algeria?
Morocco.
Morocco, okay. 3,500 miles.
Yep.
Holy moly. Matthew, I have to mention this, okay? Your fiance was Lovisa?
Yes.
From Sweden?
Yes.
All right. Now, folks, if you follow local news, this was the situation, 2 years ago now?
Yeah.
She's jogging on Park Avenue on the sidewalk, and some person from another country in a spiffy car somehow careens up onto the sidewalk and hits Lovisa. Matthew, a lot of us remember that and are still a bit angry that that happened at all. I mean, tragic isn't a strong enough word to use for that situation. I can imagine that when that happened, you must have been devastated. You must have been heartbroken over that.
Yeah, I mean, it was the worst day of my life. Like, there's nothing really else that was good. Like, it's you don't think, read these things in the news, but you never think it's going to happen to you. Like, you always hear about, someone was hit by a car, someone died in this accident or whatever. And you never think, that could be me. And then, one day it was me. It was, the woman I love. And then, your life's different from that point onwards.
Now, but you, I just want to go through this a little bit. So, devastating loss, and your response is, I'm going to put my body through as many rigors as I can to try to raise money to help others. That just does not seem like an instinctive response. As Scott said, I mean, we weren't directly impacted, and we were angry. We were upset. I guess your response is just incredible to me here. Where does that come from? Is that just for her? Is it for you? Is it both of that? Take me through the thought process of, all right, this is how – I'm guessing this is part of how you're coping with the situation.
For me, Lovisa was a lovely person, just like a very sweet, kind, loving you know, sister and friend. And she can't give that. You know, she can't give that love. So for me, it falls upon me to sort of keep that going. You know, that's one less person to give support and kindness. And I mean, I'm fundraising for children's charities. That's deliberate. That's because she was very supportive of her younger sisters and young kids. And she really wanted to be a mother. So for me, it's giving back to those children and giving back what she can't give right now.
And I believe, now you're going through Sweden. Lovisa was from Sweden.
Yes.
And at some point, you're going through her town, her hometown.
Yeah.
Do they know what you're doing?
Oh, they're the biggest supporters of this.
Okay.
They're the ones actually getting me. It's really logistically difficult to get a safety support boat in the north of Sweden in the Arctic Circle. So they're the big supporters of that.
All right, so this starts May 31st of next year. The Arctic Circle, I'm assuming nice, balmy, warm waters in May 31st, yes?
Just above freezing.
And you're going to swim, what is this, almost 4 kilometers?
Yep. That's the easy day.
Now, when you get to the bottom of Sweden to go to Denmark, there's this thing called the Baltic Sea. You going to swim the Baltic Sea?
No. I am. Unfortunately, you can't. It's the same with Morocco. You can't. You can technically swim from Morocco to, like, from Europe to Africa, but it's such a busy shipping lane that it's so difficult logistically to get over it. So I'm going to get the ferry, but then I'm going to cycle in circles to make up the distance.
Okay.
So don't think I'm cheating those 3 miles.
You're going 3,500 miles. He's cheating! No. I know my basic geography. Yeah, the Baltic Sea, there's like a narrow stretch there, okay, tons and tons of ships.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that. That makes perfect sense. And you're not going to be alone when you're doing this gig, right?
No, there'll be a support crew, hopefully. My friend Jack or maybe someone else will be with me, supporting me. You know, I do need, like, you know, shelter, warmth, those things, even though I'd rather push through. But I do need a support crew. And so that's what the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau is supporting. It's to get, like, a safety boat, someone to help maintain my bike. And, you know, these need to be kind of travel-savvy people. Like, if my bike breaks down in rural France on like a Tuesday and it's 8 p.m. I need someone who's a little bit, you know, switched on to help me. I might not be able to do that. You know, I might be 90 miles in. I might not have the mental capacity to do that. So yeah, there's going to be a support crew, but it's going to be pretty basic, pretty bare bones.
Now, actually, you mentioned earlier you did this thing with over at Mount Nittany called Mount Neverest.
Yeah.
That's a great name. Where now you said you walked up and down. You didn't run. You walked.
I ran the first 10.
Okay.
But I walked the other 39.
Good heavens. Right. Now, what did you say earlier? Your feet? What happened to your feet? What was the thing?
They went. So I had a little bit of a foot infection going in just from all the training. And unfortunately, when you're wearing, you know, the same pair of socks, walking up and down a mountain, sweating for 35 hours continuously, it gets worse. And it became, between my toes, became very fluffy and green. And my legs, I couldn't bend my legs really at the end. Like, I was struggling to walk. You know, I'd also breathed a lot of dust. It's a very dusty mountain. And so just walking up and down, kicking up all that dust, breathing, like I was coughing up a lot of stuff. It was tough. Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
For this adventure, obviously a lot of planning, as you've talked about, a lot of logistics that you need to figure out ahead of time. I'm also curious on the diet front. You've got to obviously keep your body functioning. Different foods, different days, specific things that you need to take routinely. I'm just curious as to how you lay out kind of your dietary needs, which I'm imagining are pretty substantial to be able to try to do this.
Yeah, for these things, for any distance beyond a certain threshold, you need to actually train your stomach, because your stomach, if you ever go on a long run, it gets very uncomfortable and like eating doesn't become appealing. However, for this, you need to consume so many calories that you need to just force food down, essentially.
Yeah.
You need to train your stomach. So it's a ton of carbs, it's a ton of sports shells, and it's training them in training. So by the time I get there and my stomach's uncomfortable, I'm 20 miles into a run, I can just easily take things down. Hmm. But in a way, it is also an eating competition because I'm burning, yeah, what, like 5,000, 6,000 calories a day. You just got to get it in how you can. And obviously, protein is very important. But at the end of the day, just calories in any form. If that's cake, that's donuts, doesn't really matter. I just need to get the calories in.
And then is it like Gatorade, electrolyte drinks, nonstop? You've got to get that stuff replenished.
Yeah. And that's also a really big challenge because I shift climates throughout the run.
Yeah.
So I start in the Arctic where it's just above freezing. And then by the end, I'm in the south of Spain in August, nearly August, sorry. And so, like, it's going to be, you know, in the hundreds, 110. So really trying to adapt my body to that, you know, electrolytes, you're right, Gatorade. Powerade is the really big thing for me. I drink tons of that. And just keeping those, like, salts replenished. Yeah. Because it is tough on the body.
Yeah, that's got to, yeah, I can't even imagine.
Now, when you're in Sweden next year, you're going to eat Swedish food? When you're in France, you're going to eat French food?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how you got to do it. Like, and there is also going to be a shifting diet, you know, like you said. Like, I'm going to have to switch from, like, potatoes and fish to, like, bread and, I know, snails. I don't know what the French eat. But, yeah, it's going to be a lot on my body in every regard, you know, food, sleep, diet, sweat, just my legs as well, conditions, everything. Yeah, and that's not even factoring into account like running on roads.
So this is hazardous. Let's see, Sweden to Denmark.
Yep.
Germany.
Yep.
To Belgium.
Yep.
To France.
Yep.
To Spain.
Yep.
To Morocco.
Yep.
That's quite a travelogue, Matthew.
Yeah.
You're going to be taking pictures as you're going. Now, I said we have a release here. There's going to be a documentary crew apparently doing some filming. There's going to be a social media team so people can follow you. This is a two-month thing, right? So social media team, here's what Matthew is doing today. Here's where he is, you know, that sort of stuff. That's incredible.
Yeah, and that's all to drive, you know, funds for the charity. It's as much publicity and noise as we can make just to really support these children's charities, also support and highlight like the amazing support I've received from the Center County community. So it's this two sort of pronged approach.
Do you have a specific goal in mind, or you're just, hey, let's see how much we can get?
I had a goal in mind, and then I spoke to a few people who are sort of professional like fundraisers for like nonprofits. And they told me another number, and they said that they think I can reach $250,000.
$250,000. Yeah. Okay. Now, folks can...
I feel like they are right, by the way.
Folks can contribute to this, but this isn't ready to go yet.
Not yet. Okay. The best thing you can do is go to the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau website, so that's happyvalley.com, and sign up to their mailing list. They'll be sending out a lot of updates. They'll also have a presence on their page nearer the time. And there'll also be a whole social media blast coming your way in around May. So keep an eye out for that. But yeah, happyvalley.com.
Wow. I mean, just wow. That's all I can say. This is unbelievable. Wow. All right, here's my final question, all right? You're from the UK?
Yes.
Where in particular?
I'm from London.
You're from London, okay. You like football?
American football?
No, the round ball football.
The proper football.
the rest of the world.
The one football. Where you use your foot on the ball.
There you go, yeah. Yes.
I do. Hey. My grandpa actually used to play for Everton, which is a Premier League team. So Everton is my team.
Now, Everton, that's in Liverpool.
Yes.
Not in London.
No, my mum's from Liverpool.
Okay. You don't root for the London teams? Like Chelsea, no, Arsenal?
That's not really how it works. It's more a genetic thing. Like you inherit your team.
That's not how it works. Yep. Hey, I'm not from Manchester, Matthew, but I'm sorry. I'm a United fan, all right? Oh, see, now he hates me. Oh, that's terrible.
Get in line.
Well, thank you.
Oh, was that all?
I beg your pardon. Thanks a lot. Well, Matthew, we're going to obviously be following this. This is still, what, 6 months off or something like that?
Oh, yeah. It's an amazing endeavor.
Don't hurt yourself in the next 6 months.
Thank you.
You're getting your PhD again in...
environmental policy.
What are you going to do with that?
Well, hopefully get a job in environmental policy.
What would that be? I don't know.
So that's sort of, you're working for either government entities or private companies, informing or like advising them on how they can work with like environmental regulations. Like say the US government puts out like a new tax on CO2 or they deregulate CO2 emissions. You want to inform them on how like that works and how they can use those sort of regulations.
So you want to work here or back home?
We'll see.
Wherever there's a job.
Wherever there's a job, yeah.
Maybe there's a job in France in some place that you're going through.
Exactly.
You know? Make friends on this trip, for goodness sakes. Matthew, this is amazing. There's a part of me that wishes you didn't have to do this. I understand why you're doing it.
No,
in other words, why this all got started. But good luck, and our friends from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau, thanks for their support, and we'll keep track of things.
Yeah, keep us informed, too. This is a remarkable journey. So.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome.
Very nice to meet you.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk mundane things like politics. Okay, whatever. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. We'll come right back.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Fox Sports.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
WFXX, once again.
The Fox, your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA's Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7, the Foxy Knowledge.
It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. The phone line is open and available for your use. 814-954-7266 gets you into the big show this morning. 814-954-7266.
Every now and then you come across an amazing story. That we just heard is an amazing story. Now granted, this is still 6 months off, but I have got to believe that this one's going to get some, if it doesn't, it needs to, national coverage. International coverage. Because again, Matthew's from England. What happened to start this was amazing enough in a bad way. Then his response is amazing. I mean, if that had been me, I might have gone crawled in a hole or something. You know, what got this whole thing started? He did the opposite, and he's turned it into a good thing. Now he's got this plan, which is simply unbelievable. This is, we've got a release here. At the top it says, this is the world's furthest A to B Ironman triathlon. I don't know, that sounds like the Guinness Book. This might make the Guinness Book of World Records or something like that. Again, he swims. Now, I think Matthew is smart. He's going to swim at the very beginning. See, if I were swimming, it would be more like drowning. And I'm not joking. I'm a terrible swimmer. So he's going to do the swimming right at the beginning. And it's 3.8 kilometers. Now, that might sound like a lot. But when you look at the rest of Matthew's trip, that's like a blip. It's just like a little tiny blip. But to officially make it an Ironman, you got to get a swim in there somewhere. Now, he's crazy. He's going to be swimming across the Arctic Circle. Doesn't matter if it's the end of May. It's going to be cold. Oof. 3.8 kilometers. Okay, I used to be really good at this. That's a shade over 2 miles for folks that use the other measurement. So he's going to swim for a shade over 2 miles in very cold water. Then he's going to run. 970 miles, then he's going to hop on a bicycle, and he's going to bicycle, get this, 112 miles a day for a lot of days, 2,580 miles of cycling. Wow. Now, folks, again, he mentioned our friends from Happy Valley Adventure Bureau, their website, happyvalley.com. Now, they're not doing anything right now. But as Matthew mentioned, if you go there, get on the Adventure Bureau email list, look for the appropriate link or whatever to put in your email address. Obviously, these folks are a sponsor. They're going to be keeping folks thoroughly informed leading up to the event. And so at some point, they're going to say, hey, we could really use your support. And if you can support Matthew, I plan to do it. All right. Find a way to do it. Not yet. But get on the email list so you can stay up to date. And I'm sure they'll be giving information to us, but probably better to get it directly from them. And then Matthew told us he wants to raise about $250,000 for the Save the Children charity, which is a worldwide charity, and the Center County Youth Services Bureau, which, of course, is a local outfit. So, wow. Just wow. This renews my faith in humanity. And I'm not being trite when I say that. This renews my faith in humanity. Good people doing good things. And Matthew's like top of the list right now. Wow, that's incredible. Then we flip the coin and we talk about politicians. Okay. Okay, what fun. Okay, here we go. Now, we told you 24 hours ago, hey, yesterday is probably going to be a momentous day, and surprise, no, it wasn't. It was. All right. We have a new state budget. Yay!
Look at that.
Oh, boy. It's, let's see, July, August, September, October, middle of November. Yeah, okay. If you don't follow news, this was approved by the legislature, signed by the governor yesterday. Woohoo! Yay! $50.1 billion. And when the dust settles, it was a compromise. All right? I mentioned, last hour, there was a story out there. Some state rep, not from here, from someplace, I guess did a quick interview when this was official yesterday, and the person just said, why didn't we do this in June? Yeah, there's a thought. Why didn't you do this in June? It's just a compromise. Shapiro wanted a $52 billion budget. Republicans, I think, wanted a $48 billion budget. Well, guess what? They kind of met in the middle. Surprise. There it is. More money for schools. That would be K through 12 schools. There is, an earned income tax credit for lower paid workers. I guess I'd like some more details on that one, like numbers. Now, on the Republican side, this fossil fuels greenhouse group, which some other states have signed on to, Republicans here in Pennsylvania were against this. Like, why are we really a part of this? Well, a regulation to, I guess, join this group got removed. So I guess Pennsylvania will not be a part of this. And again, this is all about the natural gas, the Marcellus Shale, the natural gas industry in the state, which, again, for especially northern tier areas, is like a lifeline to some of those places up there. Not a whole lot happening in some of those spots. And so I guess by removing this regulation, it's not like, you know, the natural gas companies are going to go wild or something. It's just their hands won't be as tied, I guess, as they would have been before. Now, some people, of course, hate this. They despise this. Personally, just at first glance, this is a good compromise. All right? Perfect? No. Both sides got something they wanted. Both sides gave up things they wanted. And again, why couldn't we have done this back in June? Why did this drag out for July, August, September, October, 4.5 months? All right? Some questions there. If some intrepid reporters are listening, you know, why? Why did this take so long? For goodness sakes, nothing earth-shattering in this deal. Could have done this in June. Yeah, okay. Down in Washington, the shutdown is over. Well, kind of over, sort of over. All right, give it some time until it's over. No real surprises yesterday. House of Representatives, all they needed was a simple majority. Republicans, I was curious, like, are all the Republicans going to vote for this? The answer, by the way, is no. I believe two voted against, and it's pretty much the same couple of guys that always, how do I phrase this, always seem to have a chip on their shoulder for some reason. And so I believe two voted no. Now, six Democrats voted yes. Now, if you remember, when this passed the Senate a couple of days ago, there were, what, seven Democrats and an independent slash Democrat that voted to break that filibuster to finally get it out of the Senate eventually. And lots of vitriol and whatever thrown at those eight people just this week. I'll be curious to see if there's vitriol thrown at these six Democrat House members. By the way, none from Pennsylvania that voted for this deal yesterday. Because for some people, that's what you do. I'm being kind when I use the term vitriol. I could use four-letter words, and frankly, they are using four-letter words. Like that's constructive. Let's see. What do we got here? 800,000 federal employees who were furloughed will start getting a paycheck again. And by the way, again, all these folks, they will get back pay. They will get retroactive pay. It's not like, you know, they weren't paid for, what, 6 weeks, and they'll never make that money back again. No, they'll get it. Now, granted, in the interim, they didn't have a paycheck. And so if they don't have a savings account or something to draw from, then some of those folks were probably in a bind. Like, okay, I can't buy food. I can't pay my electric bill. Okay, I get it. Now they're going to get their back pay, so eventually they will be fine. Those federal employees will be fine. SNAP benefits, that's gotten a lot of publicity. This thing that was passed and signed last night, full funding for SNAP for a year. Until next September, again, 42 million Americans get SNAP benefits. It says here they should get funds within 24 hours. Don't hold your breath if this is you. Don't hold your breath if it's longer than that. 48 hours and so on, because, again, they have to kind of gear things back up, you know, kind of like restarting an engine, like you got to get it slowly back up to speed. I guess, is there something in here on how do we get 42 million Americans off of SNAP? In other words, you know, is anybody discussing what can we do to get these folks off the federal dole, off the federal benefits? I don't know, a better job, something, some ideas and so on to help them earn more money so they don't need to take SNAP benefits. You never see that, do you? And I'm not trying to be trite or flippant. I'm serious. 42 million American folks, that's a lot of people. What's that, one out of eight of us? That's staggering. That's incredible. Here, allegedly in Center County, 9,000 people. That's a lot of folks here get SNAP benefits. Pennsylvania, it's supposed to be 2 million people. There are only, what, 13 million Pennsylvanians. 2 million have to go to the government just to feed themselves. Now, the good news is they're getting something, but is anybody doing anything to help these folks to get off the dole so that in the future they don't have to do this anymore? You never hear about that. Now, tomorrow, I assume he's still coming. Tomorrow, local Congressman Glenn Thompson's going to join us. He'll be here for at least a good hour, and we're going to pepper questions at him. Like, what happened? Why did it happen? What happens now? You know, all that sort of stuff. So get ready. All right, we're going to, as far as I know, the congressman said, Scott, I'll join you Friday if we vote on Wednesday. Well, they just voted on Wednesday. So I assume that GT will be joining us on the program tomorrow. So make sure you stay tuned and listen for that. And do we even want to talk about the Jeffrey Epstein files? I don't even know what to say anymore. This thing has been dragging on and on and on. And I mentioned yesterday about this time, breaking news, Democrats in the House were releasing emails from Epstein allegedly implicating Trump in something. And I'm thinking, well, that's interesting timing. Come on, you guys have been sitting on this information for how long? And now we do the October surprise. Surprise! Why? And then Republicans later yesterday, okay, we're going to dump a whole bunch of files, like 25,000. Whoosh, there they are. At that point, I'm getting a headache, like, oh, for God's sakes. Now, it's like a tennis match, back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. I guess what? There was one story, there was some message, it was, the name was redacted, allegedly, that Trump maybe knew some things and so on. Folks, first of all, Scott here, I don't know anything about any of this. None of us really do. It's just a back and forth crap. And this they redacted the name, and then Republicans last night come out and like, well, the name was Virginia Giuffre, who was the young woman who's been well-publicized, who tragically took her own life in Australia because she had to get out of the U.S. But Virginia Giuffre, I guess she wrote a book, and in her book she pretty much claimed Trump didn't do anything. She mentions Trump, and he didn't do anything. But we have this file with her name redacted, meaning it was blacked out. Oh, he may have done something. Meanwhile, the woman herself said Trump didn't do anything. Folks, who are we supposed to believe here? Mr. Ironhead, can you enlighten me? Who are we supposed to believe here? This is nuts.
The fact that this is getting as much media attention as it is fascinating to me. And I think is very telling. For those that follow John Ziegler, I think he has made some really interesting points in comparing how he uses the term legacy media, the mainstream media, whatever you want to call it, how they will use the now deceased Jeffrey Epstein's words on Donald Trump, and see, Epstein said this, so therefore you know Trump had to have been guilty. And it's like, okay. And then, but you turn around, and the still living Jerry Sandusky says, well, yeah, Joe Paterno didn't know anything. There was nothing to know, but even in terms of the
horseplay and stuff. And, well, you can't trust Sandusky. Well, okay. Yeah. It is just fascinating. The games that the media play and the way they allow themselves to be used by those that want to use them. If there was a there, this would have been used and we would have had all of this out years ago. If you don't think Joe Biden and that administration and the media that was willingly sycophants to Joe Biden, that if they would have loved for a, aha, there it is, and we're coming to get, they knew there was nothing there.
There did nothing, yeah.
And now, I'm all in favor of, yes, let's just release everything. I am just a big fan of transparency. Well, yeah, but there might be innocent names. I think we can figure it out. If you need to redact some names, okay. Although every time you redact anything, then that leads, well, so-and-so, that was intimidation here, or... again, I'm just a big fan of transparency in general. Get it all out there. I think it'll prove that there's nothing there. It won't actually do that. And that is part of the issue here, is people are going to be able to interpret different things that are said, different things that are suggested, and you'll have sides claim, Republicans, this proves Donald Trump was innocent. They'll be looking at the exact same material that Democrats will come out and say, this proves Donald Trump was guilty. And it's like, it doesn't actually prove either one. I think it is more skewed toward there's no provable criminal activity here on the part of Donald Trump. But if you just put it out, we can at least try to move on. Now, do I think we'll actually move on? All right, everything's there. We've gone through it. No, because, again, the interpretations are going to be what the interpretations are. People are going to go through every part of it, and they're going to, this sentence here, this proves, and it won't prove a doggone thing. And this sentence over here, that proves the other way, and it won't prove a doggone thing. And the game will just continue. But I'd still rather have the more information, more transparency than the other way around. But increasingly, the organizations, from the Penn State Board of Trustees to the across the board, we are seeing more folks in power be able to hide the decisions and not allow the... again, I think it is okay. I think the Penn State alums can handle what? Not all of the people on the board have the exact same thought. No, we must present it as though we all have the exact same thought. Well, that does more to discourage my faith in any organization. If everybody has the groupthink, and listen, to a large degree, they do. It is actually amazing to see the near unanimity in the decision-making process on things that just shouldn't have that type of consensus. There's just too many variables, too many different things. Nope, we will all think the exact same way. And somehow they think this is better for the institution. This is in governmental, bureaucratic, across the board. And then those decisions are being hammered out behind closed doors. And it's not healthy. And we don't have what they know is that we don't have now anywhere near the number of
investigative reporters looking into all of these things. Just the landscape has changed, the money has changed, and so if you can keep just the one or two people in each area that are actually looking into this, or brand them as troublemakers, and you can't rely on them, well then you're scot free, and they know this across the board. It is. And now when you factor in AI and you see the corruption that we have had in organizations like the FBI and the CIA, good God, is it disheartening. I mean, it honestly is heartbreaking to see folks that, to the degree to which they are just not doing the right thing. Not staying in their lane and crossing over into the political sphere. Well, we got to protect this person. The overwhelming majority of us, we're going to make mistakes along the way. I think that you can own up to them and we can move on. You can completely change your opinion on something. That is okay. We don't allow that in politics. Well, you said 20 years ago. Yep, 20 years ago, I said some pretty dumb things when I was in college. I said some pretty dumb things yesterday, undoubtedly. Probably said some pretty dumb things this morning. Okay. And then you get a little more information, and maybe you change your mind on something. And it's like, I was wrong there. Or you just get more, you get the transparency. Hey, I think this. Wait a second, this is what was happening? Well, now I don't have that same opinion. I didn't know that's what was occurring there. But no, we just gotta stay in our lane, less information known, better. For everybody, we'll take care of it. We know better than everybody else. No, you don't. A lot of times, your decision-making process is actually what's making it much worse for all of us, the so-called everyday folk.
Yeah, Friday last week, the Penn State Board of Trustees updated their bylaws. One of those, to limit members' ability to speak to news outlets.
They need to get clearance.
Can we?
In advance.
Can we call that the 98.7 the Fox rule? I think we could call that the 98.7 the Fox rule.
The idea, it's just, that is heartbreaking to me. That adults, supposed adults, can't handle somebody going out and publicly voicing an opinion that is different than mine? Well, we will not tolerate that. Well, why the hell not?
Why not? And every other election out there, you can write in somebody if you want to. Apparently not for the Board of Trustees anymore. No more write-in candidates. So it's like there's the official slate, and that's who you get to vote
for. And I want you to think about the amount of control they are demanding here. Folks, it is a small minority of the board that is elected.
Yeah.
A very small minority.
Alumni, yeah.
And an even smaller minority in that is like opposed to anything that the ruling majority does. I mean, even most of the elected members are like, yeah, okay, whatever. I'm just here to get along to go along. Let's just keep it rolling. And so this is all over like three or four people, and really this one is about two people, but I mean, just generally speaking, it's like, okay, three people that have no power on the board. Like they're yep, we cannot have that. Why? I mean, the degree, it really is heartbreaking to see an educational institution go down this path to the degree that it is going down this path. And there were folks that, when the Sandusky scandal broke, And talking to a bunch of different people, said, well, it can't get worse than this with the board. Whoops. Whoops.
Yeah, what's been learned in the last 13 or 14 years? Yeah, it makes you wonder.
And I just, it is all over. Just allow different opinions to be expressed, different thoughts. The idea that that is somehow going to be the ruination of proper governance, I just can't get my head around it, I guess.
The only person to vote no on those last week was Anthony Lebrano. He was the only one to vote no.
Yes. Wow. The degree to which groupthink has just taken over is, again, to me, I just find it heartbreaking. I like rigorous open debate. I like hearing different opinions. I think it's perfectly fine if an organization like a university, and I think what happens here, and I think I've talked about this before, but a lot of the folks that are in control there on the board, they're coming from business backgrounds. And I do understand, and I think there is a significant difference, right, between a corporate entity. Like, you don't want to have somebody on the McDonald's board saying, yeah, I think our French fries are lousy. This is not the right recipe we should be using. I don't think anybody should be eating our French fries. Well, okay, yes, that is harmful to the
brand
yeah. of McDonald's. I think that is the mentality that is being used. And to some degree, I can understand, I guess, where they're coming from. Because, again, in the business world, in the corporate world, well, yeah, that makes sense. You need to hash out behind closed doors in your boardroom with the companies. With a university, and especially one that is taking public funding, I think you need to, it is, to me, very obviously different. And I don't think you need everybody's got to be on the same point here as far as the public discussion points or the public perception that we're going to create. To me, that creates more distrust that you would have 30-plus individuals all having the exact same thought or opinion. Like, that is like crazy town, right?
That's the epitome of groupthink. Yeah.
And when you are talking about decisions regarding, again, money that is being used from, even with donations, it's public money that is coming in, I just think a healthy, robust discussion is good. I think it's healthy. I think it's important. And I think it's perfectly fine if you have people that vigorously disagree with the ultimate decisions that are made. I just don't see that as a problem whatsoever. And I would encourage, again, that open debate, and I would encourage the folks that make the decision to actually go out and publicly explain, all right, this is why we think Anthony Lebrano is wrong in this particular project. We think the funding is there, and this will lead to this. I think that's good. I would rather, all right, well, this is how it was hashed out. Again, with anybody. Right. If we'll have disagreements with management or with sales team or whatever over the years, and it's like I may still disagree, but if you can sit down and, well, Ironhead, this is why we're doing this. Like, we need to placate this advertiser. This advertiser is doing this. Again, I may end up disagreeing still, but man, I will respect. All right. Well, at least now I know. There was some thought behind the process. This is why you did it. I may still disagree, but it's like, okay, well, now I know. And you're certainly the person that gets to make the decision. And I'm okay with that. If if it can be explained. What is, I think, especially discouraging is, nope, we're just making it. We know what we're doing. Just trust us. No. Just come out and explain. Hey, we think this is going to lead to this and that. Well, I don't think it will. Well, we'll find out, but this is, you know, we really do, and that's why we're making the decision. Okay. Again, it's not that I think you have to do, you're not going to placate when you have a, alumni base. Again, any organization. Certainly when you get to politics, it's why it is fascinating when entertainers come out and go one way or the other on the political spectrum. And it's like, well, now you've alienated half of your audience. Yeah. Well, yeah, but if it's something you feel passionate about, again, even if I disagree, I can respect you taking an opinion.
All right, we got to take a break.
Yeah.
Holy moly. That. Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts?
Mm-mm-mm.
So good. Plus, you can choose from one of 5 themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
November is a month of giving, and 98.7 The Fox wants to be your station for giving. During November, The Fox will be asking you to stop in and sign up for our annual Remington 700 SPF rifle giveaway from Jordan Firearms in Loganton. A $50 gift card from the 64 Beer Store on Nittany Valley Drive just off Interstate 80 at Lamar. Also, win other great prizes from the Pennsylvania Lottery, Fisher's Market in Milesburg, Pam Printing and More Printing in Pleasant Gap, Giant Grocery Store on the Brenner Pike in Bellefonte, Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub on the Diamond in downtown Bellefonte. It's the month of giving with The Fox, all month long on 98.7 The Fox. Don't forget to join us on Saturday, November 29th, for the start of the Victorian Bellefonte Christmas season in downtown Bellefonte. Santa Claus will make his appearance at 1 p.m. that day. Start your holiday season off in the right way with 98.7 The Fox.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Well, you gotta turn it up here on a Thursday morning. Let's talk, Jeff and Scott, with you. About 2 minutes of open phone time right here at 814-954-7266.
Folks, you might not even want to try. We talk too much. We should get paid by the word. Can we get the boss to give
Boy,
us
that
a
would
contract?
Be sweet, wouldn't it?
Paid by the word. Again, tomorrow, local Congressman Glenn Thompson scheduled to join us. We're assuming he will. He'd be coming back from Washington after the big vote yesterday. And we've got a mountain of questions for him. All right, like what happened, why, how, who, you know, all the basic questions and so on. So stay tuned for that tomorrow. Apparently congressmen are still allowed to do media interviews, so that's a nice thing. So we will have him. I think he'll be joining us about 8:45 tomorrow. So right after our sports segment, we're going to get right into it and keep on going and hopefully get our commercial breaks where they're supposed to be.
Well, that could happen. You never know.
Because I think we need to take one like right here.
We will in just 1 minute. Just real quickly, our schedule today after this program, Dan Patrick will roll your way from 10 a.m. till noon. Joe Lednoski and the Pennsylvania Sports Network from noon to 2. And then Goon and I will be out at Quaker Steak and Lube for the Goon and Ironhead show this afternoon. We will be talking a lot of college football and some college wrestling, likely some college hockey and basketball to boot. So, and I do think we'll talk a little bit about Paul Skeens and Christopher Sanchez and the seasons they had. And then we're back to Fox Sports for the rest of the afternoon and evening. We are coming right back with a brief final segment of Let's Talk on this Thursday morning in mere minutes.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Get up and get going with the Happy Valleys, 98.7 The Fox.
Let's talk here on this Thursday morning. Jeff and Scott with you as we wrap up shop for the day. And
we literally have seconds left.
Well, I mean,
about a minute.
Almost a whole minute.
Folks, have a good day. It's a beautiful, beautiful day outside today.
Not too shabby.
Again, tune in tomorrow. Congressman Glenn Thompson scheduled to join us. And again, we've got a mountain of questions for him about so many different things from this week. The shutdown, future decisions, Donald Trump, I don't know, Jeffrey Epstein, what does he think? And all this stuff, SNAP benefits, health insurance, subsidies. I mean, all these buzzwords that we, you know, see in the news right now. Congressman, I don't know if he's listening. He might be traveling back today. Get ready, Congressman. Buckle your seatbelt.
Yeah, get ready.
All right, I got some tough questions for him. I really do.
Well, you're a tough guy.
Thanks. Spoken by Mr. Wrestling here. In the meantime, hey, it is a beautiful Thursday. A little cool. Put on a coat. Go outside and enjoy it. And we will talk to you again tomorrow morning.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Fox Sports.